Well, good afternoon and happy Sabbath, brethren. Welcome to everyone tuning in via the webcast. And to the dads, happy Father's Day weekend. Well, Jesus Christ went and spoke to John on the island of Patmos and said many things, including the following. He said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may take your crown." And John was inspired to write this down in the letter to the church of Philadelphia within the book of Revelation. We know that verse as Revelation 3 and verse 11. And these are famous words and probably a memory scripture for all of us here. And we can take a number of things from this short verse, from this short sentence that Jesus Christ said. First of all, we can take great encouragement from it. This is one of the many places that Jesus Christ promises us that he will return. And we know that when he does return, he will set this world to rights and establish his kingdom, the kingdom of God, on earth. We can also take his statement as a warning. We know that we do not and could never earn our salvation, but readers are warned to not let anyone to take our crown and to hold fast to what we have that God has given us. Today, with the sermonette time, we'll take this as encouragement and as a warning, and we'll also take it as a call to action. We'll examine three things that the Bible tells us to hold fast to. I'll present those in three simple and straightforward points, things that we should cling to as we await the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. The title of the sermonette is Hold Fast to What You Have. Hold fast to what you have. Point number one is to hold fast to God. Before I came into God's church and really started studying the Bible, I had some of those ideas that were covered at Pentecost, right, about a closed Trinity and really a God, especially a God of the Old Testament, who was very far away from me and not really a God that I would have a personal relationship with. And that's a pagan idea, as was covered. It's still present in society. And that idea of a far-off God comes from a Greek philosophy known as Epicureanism. And that's not the God that we see in Scripture. In Scripture, we see a God that is near at hand. He describes himself in that Old Testament as a God that is nearby. Our God is a loving God that is building a family, and he wants an intimate and close relationship with his children and with that family, just as any father does. Our daughter, Chloe, is still that age where if she wakes up and we're not around, we're not close by in the night, she cries out for us. And then she starts going down the hallway, still crying out for us, until she finds us and we find her and we pick her up, and then she holds close to us and she holds on. And that's when she calms down and she's at peace. Let's turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. And this is one scripture of many that show the relationship that God wants to have with his children and with his people. God the Father is, after all, described as a father, and Jesus Christ as our older brother. Joshua 22 and verse 5 says, "Take careful heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." This word that's translated hold fast is the Hebrew word davak. And on top of holding fast, it means to catch by pursuit, to overtake, and to cling to. So we are called to seek God and then hold on to him. You might think of images of Jacob wrestling with God and then not letting go. If we do that, if we take hold of God and don't let go, this command to seek God and cling to him is a command with promise. James writes in the book of James, chapter 4, he tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to us. And in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 31, God describes how he carried Israel in the wilderness and through it all the way to the promised land. And he says, "I carried you like a father carries his child." This is the relationship that God wants with each of us, and that's how much he will do for us. Let's stir ourselves up to seek God and hold fast to him. He will draw close to us and deliver us in our times of need. Part of staying close to God is staying close to his word. And there are many warnings in the Bible to not be deceived and to not fall away. And point number two today is to hold fast to his word. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. Go to Titus chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 9. Cutting into the middle of a section here, Titus 1 and verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that as he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and convict those who contradict. And we do live in a world where it's hard to trust what you hear or what you read, and it takes real discernment. But we have an incredible foundation to work from. God is faithful and trustworthy, and so is his word. That's why we call his word the truth. This was a major theme of Pentecost, and at the end of one of the sermons, we were told to hold fast to the stunning truth of God's plan. When we're reading about injustice and things going on in the world, we can do so through an incredible lens, a lens of hope and knowledge of what is coming. God's word is filled with incredible promises for his future, for us, and for the entire world. Jesus Christ will return to establish his kingdom. And this is the God that's described as Isaiah as wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And his kingdom will have those qualities. Part of our armor of God is the shoes of that gospel of peace. As we walk our Christian walk in this world, knowing and sharing the incredible truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God is part of our armor to resist Satan. So let's hold fast to these incredible promises and to God's ultimate plan. It is key to defending our crown. Point number three today, let's hold fast to each other. Let's turn to the book of Ruth for this one. We'll go to Ruth in chapter 1. We were here recently. Mr. Clore covered some of the characters in the book of Ruth and what their names mean. I don't think he covered both of these names a couple weeks ago. We're going to look at Ruth and Orpah. That's what we'll focus on. We do know the story. Naomi and Elimelech were married. They had two sons who went to Moab and remained there. And then Elimelech died. The sons took Moabite wives named Orpah and Ruth. And then Orpah and Ruth's husbands die. Both Orpah and Ruth proclaim that they will stick with Naomi. Now God, as we know, often names things what they are according to their character. And Orpah means gazelle, and Ruth means friendship. So we can look to and learn from Ruth's example of friendship here. In verse 11, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to go back to their people, that they would do better on their own. And then verse 14, it says, then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and then she left. She went back to her people. It says, but Ruth clung to her. She clung to Naomi. And that word translated clung to her is the same word devak that was translated to hold fast in Joshua and is translated that way in other parts of scriptures. So there are two examples of friendship here. We see Orpah, who proclaims love, but kisses Naomi, and then retreats to her former life, running like a gazelle. And then we see Ruth, who holds fast to Naomi, and goes with her to live with the people of God. Ruth's example shows how our love should be for each other. Hebrews 10 and verse 24 tells us to assemble together, and it tells us why. It's because we need the encouragement. It says, assemble to exhort one another even more as you see the day approaching. The last couple years have shown us just how fast and quickly and rapidly things can change. And prophecy ultimately should motivate us in many ways, including to draw close to the people of God and support each other through troubling times. And Jesus Christ does warn us that he is returning quickly. I always wondered about that verse, right? Especially within the church. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will return. We pray for it. We talk about it like all the time and what it'll be like. How can something happen quickly if we're expecting it? I had a lesson in this a couple years ago. Might have shared with some of you. When we were pregnant with Chloe, we had planned a birth at home, a home birth, and we were ready, but we weren't like all the way ready, right? We had everything we needed, but we still needed to get everything set up for the midwives that were going to come in. And it was her due date. Babies don't always come right on their due date, right? There was no sign of the baby, and so we thought we had more time. Then that evening, Beth started having contractions, and so I went to finish getting everything set up, right? And based on past births, we thought we had hours of labor ahead of us. We were very wrong. It suddenly became very apparent that the baby was coming very quickly, and the time for preparation had passed. This story has a happy ending. Of course, the midwives raced over and arrived just in the nick of time, but it blew me how fast things can happen, how quickly things can happen, even things that we're expecting to happen. So brethren, the time is now, while we still have time. Jesus Christ tells us that he is coming quickly. Let's hold fast to what we have so that no one can take our crown. Let's hold fast to God, hold fast to his word, hold fast to each other.